This is The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak. As summer arrives and we all spend more time outdoors, protecting our skin becomes more important than ever. Joining us today is Dr. Karen Stolman. She's a board-certified dermatologist serving the Park City and Wasatch Back communities. She's the owner of Park City Dermatology, both in Park City and in Heber City. Dr. Stolman specializes in the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of skin cancer, as well as medical and cosmetic dermatology. Today, she'll help us understand why skin cancer rates remain high in Utah, what warning signs to watch out for, and the simple steps we can take to protect ourselves and our families. Dr. Stolman, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here. Very nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure to have you, and it's really important. Of course, we just wrapped up May as Skin Cancer Awareness Month. There are some scary statistics surrounding melanoma in our state of Utah. Can you expand on that?
Yes. Utah is known for having one of the highest rates of melanoma skin cancer, unfortunately. We ask why. The reasons that come up are typically we have a lot of fair-skinned people in Utah. We have an outdoor lifestyle and culture here. And so some of us would like to just run outside and get on that hiking trail. And we don't always take the time to grab our hats and our sunblock. Some other reasons, main one I'd say is the high altitude. It's believed for every 1,000 feet above sea level, there's approximately about a 10% increase in how much harmful UV radiation we may get. So if we're here at 6,000 plus feet above sea level, if you can do the simple arithmetic, we're greater than 60% more harmful UV radiation than someone at sea level may get, which is kind of frightening if you think about it.
It's really frightening. And also compounding that is our very dry climate here in Utah. You can just tell from looking around at those people who have lived in Utah and especially at altitude for decades, there's a lot more wrinkling going on. There's a lot more risk of skin cancer. How much skin cancer do you deal with? And maybe you should go through the different types. This would be a good point to do that.
This is so true that we're seeing a combination of both high rates of the skin cancer and high rates of just sun damage, or we call it actinic damage or sun damage when you have premature aging signs in the skin like wrinkling. So at my daily clinic, the majority of the patients we're seeing, we're doing preventative mole checks and skin checks, which is wonderful. I really enjoy doing those. And I have a passion for wanting to find it early. You know, if you can get in there and get your skin checked once a year is what we usually recommend for most adults. We can find these skin cancers early. And then we also would advise that you try to check your skin at home once a month, use hand mirrors and look as well. But yeah, I'd say our clinic's quite busy with doing these preventative skin checks, and we're finding precancers called actinic keratoses on a daily basis, lots of people. And then we're also finding the non-melanoma skin cancers. Those are known as basal cell and squamous cell skin cancers. And those are much more common in the country as well. It's believed that 5.4 million of those are diagnosed a year in the U.S. And melanoma is the more serious form of skin cancer and is much more rare, but it's still about 100,000 people in the U.S. will be diagnosed with that every year. And in Utah, it's said that we have a range of about 38 to 44 people per 100,000 that would be diagnosed with that. We have the highest incidence, apparently.
So one thing I learned recently in a visit to the dermatologist is, for example, I've got the thing on my forearm that has always been there. It's not a mole. It's just a funny little brown spot. And I'm always worried about it. And every time it gets checked out, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. What I learned is some of these things that we've had checked out over the years and over the many visits that we do, if we're being good, is that they can change and they can become cancerous. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. So you can have a benign mole, even a birthmark type mole that over time could evolve. I wouldn't say it's a common thing that, you know, I don't want to frighten people with that, but it is a possibility. And it's why we recommend the checks every month at home and once a year. And it's not like you just do one every 5 years and you're good, or one every 10 decade. It's because our moles are always changing and we're always getting new ones.
So there are all kinds of wild statistics surrounding skin cancer, and things that caught my eye, like for adults ages 25 to 29, this is very young, we think of them as kids, melanoma is one of the most common cancers diagnosed. Hopefully, people who are now 25 to 29, they grew up in an era where, yes, everyone wore sunblock because we've learned. But you also think they're much too young to be getting skin cancer or melanoma.
Yes, that's another very frightening statistic, right? And I did unfortunately find a melanoma in a 25-year-old only 2 weeks ago. And again, I wouldn't say that's a common, you know, we see them more often in the older adults who've had some time to have had cumulative sun exposure and damage. But we do see them in young people. And we sometimes, in that case, would further investigate if they have a family predisposition or if there could be a genetic risk. And if so, if we suspect that, then we might refer to the Huntsman Cancer Institute, where they can get genetic testing.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you found a melanoma on a 25-year-old a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was that visible? Was it visible, or did you have to biopsy that to know that it was melanoma?
Yeah, so fortunately, the patient knew that there was something off about the mole, and it was on their shoulder. But we did test it immediately. And sometimes we're finding them. I had another patient where it was on their back and they didn't even know they had it. And that was maybe 3 weeks ago. So I'd say we find like one or two melanomas a month in my practice. And fortunately, we're finding them early. They're usually early stage when people are coming in to see us. And and when it's on the back, that, you know, it's sometimes it's just because we don't know and we didn't take the time to look there. And so I just would encourage, you know, everybody to get a hand mirror. And when you do a monthly self-check, use that hand mirror to see behind your neck, behind your ears, the back, all those hard to see places. You can have a loved one at home help you, but it's always best to do it yourself, I think, so you'd be self-reliant with your skin checks. And then we'll do a thorough check head to toe. We'll even look in your scalp. And we recommend that once a year, that you get the very thorough check with the dermatologist. And we use a special light called a dermoscope light. So if you come in for your exam, we're going to be looking very closely and magnifying the moles we're seeing to make sure, you know, whether we have a hunch whether it's benign or suspicious. And then we make a decision whether we need to test it.
Yes. If you're just joining me on The Mountain Life, I'm having a conversation with Dr. Karen Stolman. She is a board certified dermatologist, and she is the owner of Park City Dermatology and also has a practice in the Heber Valley. And that one's called Heber Valley Dermatology or
Heber City Dermatology. Yes.
Okay. And you bought this practice from Dr. Stephen Kern, who still practices one day a week. But tell us a little bit about the history of how you came into being the owner of Park City Dermatology right here in the Sun Peak area.
Yes, I come from New York, New Jersey area. Originally, I went to medical school at New York University. And when I completed my training in 2001, I practiced with my father, who is a dermatologist in New Jersey. And he was always my mentor and my inspiration. And in 2003, I made the decision to move out west. I loved the outdoors, the skiing, all the adventure. Plus, there was a need for dermatologists in Utah. I was recruited by Intermountain Dermatology and joined them. And I was with them for a decade. And that was a wonderful experience. And I met Dr. Kern many years ago. Dr. Kern started Park City Dermatology, I think back in 2006, and it was one of the first dermatology practices in Park City. So we had met many years ago at all our dermatology conferences in Utah and meetings and about skin cancer awareness and whatnot. Yeah, and when I heard that he was needing some help up here, I was happy to oblige. And I've always loved Park City and the life up here. I'm glad that I could help provide that care, and that was much needed over here. And it's nice that we have some more specialists in Park City.
Yeah. And so again, as I said, you're located in the Sun Peak area. You also have a physician's assistant working with you. So it would be the three of you in the office?
Yes. So we have a wonderful physician assistant named Madeline Shedd, who came from Georgia last year, and she'd already been practicing in dermatology for a few years. So she's over at our Heber location primarily, and sometimes in Park City. So yeah, there's the three of us. We have a few master estheticians as well, and they perform a lot of our cosmetic procedures.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's go back into talking about the incidence of melanoma here in Utah, the leading state in the nation for melanoma. And this is something that you don't want to be a leader at, but also a lot of people who recently moved to Summit and Wasatch counties to Park City may not know about this. It's our recreational lifestyle, as you were saying, but also talk to us about what happens in the wintertime when we're looking down at that snow.
Oh, yeah. So the snow reflects the ultraviolet radiation in our faces, primarily in our neck, depending on how much coverage we have that day when we're out there skiing and how much protection we have from our clothing. So it's important to remember that this is a hazard year round. And if we go to the beach, sand and water also can reflect. But here in Utah, well, snow is going to be the big thing. Or if you're out on the lake, think about that as well, that the lake water could reflect up in your face. And I also want to point out how if it's a gray day, we can still get harmful UV radiation in a significant amount. It's said that 80% of the UV radiation can still penetrate on a cloudy day. So I would just keep that in mind. If you're going out to walk your dog or whatnot, just grab that hat and get a wide brim hat. The baseball caps, They look cool, but they're not adequate. Yeah, they don't protect the ear rims and the neck adequately. So it's always best to have the wide brim hat.
Yeah.
While you're skiing, I have one more tip that I figured out since I got to Utah. There are these little nosies or nose warmers that you can attach to your goggles. And I found them on Etsy as well, or you can make your own. You can just go to the craft store and get a piece of material and you can Velcro it or sew it to your goggles for the season. And then it's just there every time you get out there protecting your nose.
Yeah, that is such a great tip. And so many people in the wintertime use those buffs and they pull them up. I'll try to pull mine up under my goggles so that nothing gets on my face. Unfortunately, I wish I had started doing that 40 years ago. But, also, you know, you mentioned we go hiking, mountain biking. You know, they have these things that you can Velcro on. It's like a 360-degree big visor onto your bike helmet. I just recently, last month, did an organized ride, like a century ride. And there was one person with one of those in the whole, you know, out of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. It's only one person I saw. And you know, he was the smart one, right?
Yeah. He was not a dermatologist.
Yeah. He was not a dermatologist.
Usually that's me. I'm the only one with the visor.
I know. And it's funny because you think that there is this kind of geek factor, this nerdy looking thing that you got going on, yet it's the smartest thing that any of us could do. I'm waiting for some really brilliant invention that somehow blocks all the rays from your face without being hot and without being cumbersome when you're mountain biking. Any great ideas there?
So the mountain biking is a tough one, but I would do the visor for sure. And then reapplying your sunblock every couple hours is so key. I mountain bike as well, and that's what I've just got the mineral black. It's a little bit pasty white. You can get them tinted now, so you don't always have to look like a ghost when you put on your sunblock. Yeah, and you're going to get the sunblock fingerprints all over your car and your gear, but it's worth it.
Absolutely worth it. Well, let's talk a little bit about the effect of tinted sunscreens. You do see people out there with sort of the white look. When you have
Yeah.
that on, you know that it's there. I usually get my sunscreen from the dermatologist, and so I make sure that it's a, I guess, well-reputed
Yeah.
sunscreen. But
Yes.
are there tips that you can give us to also kind of suss out what those might be? Because if you put on a sunscreen that you've gotten from the dermatologist's office, it's tinted, you can't see it on after you put it on, it still leaves doubt in my mind about how effective
Of
it'll
how
be.
effective. Yes. So the story behind that, how to choose your sunscreen, the mineral blocks or sensitive skin sunblocks are my favorite for face or sensitive areas. And they are the ones that historically would look pasty white. And then after popular demand for improvement in those products, the companies started coming out with micronized versions where they made the ingredients smaller so that it was less white, but then it wasn't enough, it was still white. And so then they started adding a little bit of makeup to them. And the tinted sunblocks do seem to hold up in the clinical efficacy studies where they show they're still effective. So I trust them. I wear them myself. They sometimes get on your clothes a little bit, like on your collar, but the makeup, but it's worth it to me so I can avoid that ghost pasty white look if I don't want it that day. But sometimes I don't care. But back to the difference from mineral blocks and sensitive skin sunblocks. I teach when people ask, my patients come in and they're asking about, okay, which sunblock? I'm so overwhelmed because there's so many choices. So I'll tell you for face or if you have sensitive skin or your children, choose those mineral blocks. The two key ingredients in a mineral block are either titanium dioxide or zinc oxide. And then the chemical screens are all the other ones. And you can tell because when you look at the ingredient list, there's usually more than two ingredients as the active sunblocking ingredients. And they'll have maybe five or six. They'll have avobenzone and the oxybenzones and all the, it's a whole long list. The problem with those is sometimes they're increasing your risk of brown discoloration or cosmetic problems. Sometimes they're irritating. They can cause itching or burning for some people more than others. Sometimes they can even give you a contact dermatitis or sensitivity. So those chemical screens, I think they're useful for just to grab it and put it on your body, but I prefer to avoid it on my face, mainly because of that risk of the discoloration. And the reason we think they do that is their function, the way they work to protect from sun, is they absorb the rays and convert them to heat in your skin. And dermatologists have known for a long time that when you have heat in the skin, it can increase your risk of melasma and brown discoloration. So, just a cosmetic tip is regarding.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, thank you for that. So sticking with the titanium dioxide and
Zinc oxide
the
is the
zinc oxide.
second main ingredient. Yep, you got
Okay,
it.
yep.
So I look for those, but if you just look for the word mineral or sensitive skin for sensitive skin, it usually you're okay with that. And most of the major brands have carry one. There are some brands that have done more clinical studies and that we'll carry in the office. Like we like the AltMD brand, for example. We happen to have that here. There's those options as well.
Okay, good to know. I'm glad that's the one I use too. So,
Good.
and again, should you at the end of, a summer season or once a year throw out all your sunscreen, do those zinc oxide and titanium dioxide and tinted sun mineral sunscreens, do they lose their efficacy after a year?
I would think they do. Yes, I've heard that, and I think they're sturdier than the chemical screens. And I do throw out most of my sunblocks once a year, at least that's my policy. So I agree with what you suggested.
Okay, good to know. All right, say there's someone out there who's lived in Park City a long time, has you know, done all the sports, didn't do all the right, you know, wearing of hats, something, wore a baseball cap instead of a wide brim. And they're not in that market for, you know, quote unquote, aesthetic dermatology, but they'd like to get rid of their sun damaged, premature aging issues they've got. What would be that step for someone like that to take?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Because there's a few things out there that you can start with, and where you're not really delving into that cosmetic world too deep, you know, if you're not, you don't have that level of comfort. But I'd say one of the more common concerns people have cosmetically is just the brown spots, sometimes red spots we get on, mainly on the face and other areas. So our go-to for that would be the IPL, photofacials or intense pulse light. Also, in some practices, they have the BBL brand. So IPL and BBL are kind of synonymous, just different brands of the same thing. That's a nice treatment. It's just 15 minutes, typically 2 to 3 treatments a month apart. But each time you do it, there's some improvement. There's just about 5 days or so where you can be a little blotchy red, or the brown spots can be darker before things get better. So if you're wondering about downtime, you know, just 4 to 5 days or so, we'd say, where you can still go out and do most things. We would just say, maybe don't time it right before an important social event. Yeah, so that would be our go-to. And then we'd also recommend using some products at home that help to fade the brown spots or fight the aging changes like wrinkles. And that would be retinols, retinoids, stem cell serums, peptide serums or creams. And those are helpful as well.
Well, this is a lot of great information. Thank you. Maybe with just the short time we have remaining, could you go over briefly your cosmetic dermatology offerings?
Yeah, so the IPL photofacials are quite popular. We also have laser resurfacing. It's gentle. The word resurfacing sounds a little strong, but this is a gentle laser treatment for wrinkles and rejuvenation, where it can stimulate collagen and elastin, and very similar downtime to the IPL, where it's just 5 to 7 days, a little blotchy red or swollen. And you can do two or three of those as well, a month apart. And many times we'll just combine that treatment in the same day, where you can do the color treatment, improve your color in your tone in the same day that you improve your texture and your wrinkles. And we do it on the face and neck and other places on the body. And then our other go-to for anti-aging or rejuvenating would be the Elicor treatment. And Elicor is called micro-coring. It's basically, they're small needles that remove skin. They have suction on them. And so we're literally removing tiny bits of skin to tighten the skin. This is commonly done on the face or the neck. We've also done arms and legs and just anywhere you want to tighten saggy skin. And the downtime for that is about 10 days. You know, it's pretty quick as well. And what we like about that is that could stave off the need for surgical treatments like facelifts and all that. So if you do a couple Elicors, you might get a similar effect to having a mini lift.
That's called Elicor.
Elicor.
That's different than like microneedling.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So Elicor, it's spelled Ellacor. Microcoring is different than microneedling. So microneedling, there's no suction there. There's no removal of skin. Microneedling, the basic microneedling, they're just needles and they're going in to retexturize. And it needs to have many, many repeats to be effective. So it's offered in spas and things like this. And whereas the Elicor, you don't need as many treatments to get this, you know, more dramatic improvement. Another difference with microneedling, so a lot of spas carry the RF microneedling, radio frequency microneedling. And so that combines heat with the needles, and the heat stimulates the collagen and elastin. So that can help smooth or tighten skin modestly, but I'd say it's modest compared, the improvement compared to something like Elicor, and even modest compared to our laser resurfacing I was mentioning earlier. So we like to perform and carry the treatments that are the most effective, the fastest, the biggest bang for your buck.
All right. Well, that's great. And just a final question about all of that aesthetic stuff. Will any of this prevent or treat the development of skin cancers?
So there's limited data on, and we're fortunate that we have other effective treatments for the precancers and prevention of skin cancer. A common treatment we have that we prescribe is that Fluorouracil cream, which treats precancers. Again, there's also a light treatment. The university and some of the Intermountain facilities offer that as well for treating the precancers. And so if you come in, we'll figure out what would be most appropriate for if you are experiencing problems with skin cancers and or precancers and skin cancers and they're recurring, and we'll have you on a tight surveillance program and treatments as well when they're needed.
All right. Dr. Karen Stolman, dermatologist and owner of Park City Dermatology and also Heber City Dermatology. Thank you so much for your time today. This is really important information.